Amen. Some of the struggles that you will face. You know what? I like some things about this young man, by the way. You know, this young man, if you notice about him, I like some things. First thing, he had zeal about him. He had a zeal about him. He was fired up wanting to serve God. Amen. I mean, I see a lot of young people that have some zeal. They got the zeal to stir up. They want to do something for God. They want to try to stay in church and stay faithful. Amen. That's a good thing. Most young people have zeal. They're full of energy. They want to do something. Amen. They want to be involved. They want to be asked to do stuff. They want to go places. They want to get involved in what's going on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's a good thing. Keep that zeal. Amen. Because when you eventually get old, it wear out. Amen. But so keep all you can right now. Enjoy all you can in your zeal. And then knowing that, I like about him his zeal, but I also like his holiness. Bible says in verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, you know what? You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't do those things. You know what? The young man, Bible says there, he said, I kept those things since I was a young man. The Lord did not disagree with him. The Lord didn't say, oh, you're lying. No, the Lord said, yeah, you're right. You kept those things. That's a good thing all you young people need to work on is keeping your holiness and purity before God. There's so much out there tonight that is trying to steal your purity, trying to steal your holiness from God. And you know what? You need to learn to keep yourself clean and usable to God tonight. That Bible talks about keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Man, don't let the world get all over you tonight. Amen. Learn to keep yourself clean and pure from all that stuff tonight. I like His holiness. I like His zeal. I like His choice. He said, Lord, what am I going to do, man, to follow You? What am I going to do to stay right with You? I like this young boy had a choice. He said, I want to serve God. I want to follow the Lord Jesus wherever He's going. That's a good choice tonight. You young people, I hope that tonight you got some desire and want to about you that says, I want to serve God. I want to follow the Lord the rest of my life. But you know what? There was some thing. The Bible says he ended up just walking away. He walked away from everything he knew and been raised in and trained about. He walked away from it all. That's a bad pattern I'm beginning to see because a lot of young people are doing the same thing. You know what? They struggle with things growing up in Christianity. Most of you, if your parents got saved and then they brought you to church, your parents got in differently. They weren't raised around church. They didn't raise on these things. Some of them knew all they knew was the nightlife. All they knew was sin. All they knew is evil out there. When they got saved, it was a total change and transformation. They fell in love with this. Amen. Praise God. My dad was a drunk. My dad was just a drunk fighting Indian. That's all he was. Just mean Indian. Traditional, loved his Indian ways. But when he got saved, he fell in love with God. He fell in love with church and Christianity. It was just total change for him. And the best thing ever for him was that what happened to my dad there. And you know what? Because of that, his life is a little different from mine. I'm glad he got saved. I'm glad he got in. But you know, I had to grow up into this. I had known the change from. I didn't know nightlife, which is good. Most of you don't. We don't know a nightlife. We don't know that wicked lifestyle out there. And all that, we had to grow up in this out here, this atmosphere, which is good. It ought to produce the best Christians tonight. Now, growing up in church, growing up around God and the things of God ought to produce the best Christians tonight. Those that have been around a church for a long time in your life, you should be the best Christians. You should be the best people there are out there tonight. You should be the ones filling up the mission field. You should be the ones that are, man, doing the work for God. Amen. But a lot of young people today, they're, you know what's happening? They're walking away. They come into a situation in life, you know what? They're doing like this young man. I raised right, Lord. I was doing this for You, but they can't. Something happens and then they are walking away. They struggle with certain things. Some of you that got saved out of that life and were total changed for you, you might not understand some of these things, but these that grew up in it and around it, they kind of understand what I'm talking about tonight. Those of you that have been in and around it, I want to try to preach you on these thoughts, the struggle growing up in a Christian life, in a Christian home. You know, one of the first things that you're going to ever struggle with, what this young man struggled with. First of all, the cost involved. You will struggle with the cost involved. The Lord Jesus said, young man, if you're going to follow Me, He said, go sell all you have and take up your cross and follow Me. Amen. You realize tonight, you young people, most of you have a lot of things handed to you. You don't realize there's a cost for what we have here tonight. You don't realize there's a tremendous cost that was paid for our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, that was a great price paid for our salvation. There was great cost involved in bringing your family to church. There was great cost involved in, man, getting this church going and started. There was great cost in, man, serving the Lord here. But most young people don't realize that great cost involved in that thing. We just grew up around it, and you know what? It's just always been there. There's always been a church there. There's always been a preacher there. We didn't know the blood, the sweat, the tears, the money, the effort, the energy that went into getting this work going. We don't. Most of us don't know that. We just kind of saw it from a distance and just knew we're around it and said, hey, you know what? Okay. I wanted to say something to you tonight. Amen. Now, most young people, they walk away because they don't know about they struggle with the cost involved. You know what? At some point in your life, you're going to find out, young person, that it's going to cost you something to serve God. You grew up in it and around it. But you know what? A lot of what you enjoy at your church, you didn't work to have there. One of these days, you know what? In order for you to stay right, stay faithful, stay in church, you're going to find out you're going to have to pay a cost to stay that way. You're going to pay a cost to stay clean. You're going to pay a cost to stay right. You're going to pay a cost to stay in church. You're going to pay a cost, man, to stay with your wife or your husband, whoever that is. You're going to have to pay a cost. My question is, when it comes down to it, are you going to be willing to pay the cost? Are you going to be willing to pay that cost to say, hey, you know what? It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me friends that I can't hang around no more. Some of you young people tonight, you know, the best thing that ever happened to you is to leave behind some of them friends in your life. Them friends are discouraging you. They're taking you away from church. They've walked away a long time ago. You don't need to follow them tonight. It's going to cost you some friends tonight. Some of you, it's going to cost. You know what's going to cost you? It's going to cost you some free time. You know what a young person loves? His free time. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you going to do today? I don't know. Most days not planned out. We just like our free time, don't we? Amen. I grew up that way. I like my free time. Dad, I'm done with my chores. He said, all right, go do what you want. And I'm like, yeah. Then he would say, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to go. It's free time. That's all I know. Growing up in school, public school, man, my favorite time. All right, put your books away. Recess. Free time. All right, go run out there and play. Amen. That was the best thing. Free time. You know what? It's going to cost some of you to stay around with God. Free time. No longer are you going to have free time to do whatever you want, fool around. You're going to have to give up free time. You're going to have to give up your friends. You know what some of you are going to have to give up? You're going to cost you your family. Some of your mom and dad are going to get mad at a preacher. You know what? And you know what? In order for you to stay in church, you're going to have to walk away from that. That'd be hard. Some of you, your relatives, going to get offended because of something the preacher said. You know what's going to happen? You're not going to want to say, oh man, he offended my relatives. You know what's going to happen? You got to learn to bend. It's cost you some family time. Hey man, it's going to cost you some festivities. Hey man, what do you mean? Just all the activities of this world. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Yeah, you can't. Some of you boys here, you can't give up your little video games. You can't give up your little toys. Hey, you're going to have to get rid of some of that stuff tonight. Why? It's going to cost you something to serve God. Man, to live this Christian life the old-fashioned way, it costs something to live that way. The old-fashioned Christian life is not free, it's not cheap, it's not easy. It's going to cost you, man, some hard times in your life. Question is, you going to pay the cost when it comes? Or are you just going to say, well, you like that young man saying, that just costs too much. And just walk away. You know what? When something costs something, you're putting a value on something. And you begin to weigh cost, value. You begin to weigh that. My wife, during Christmas, you know what she says? She says, we have a rule in my house. I said, honey, she don't work. Our rule is this. You can spend up to $50 a day without asking me. $50 is your limit. Buy whatever you want with $50. But if it goes over $50, you must call, we must talk about it, and I must give my authorization for you to spend more than that. That's just the rule I have in the house. Amen. Now some of you, I don't know if you have that kind of rule. Maybe you think I'm a dictator for having that kind of rule, but it's just my rule. Amen. Just put a limit on her spending. Amen. Just tell her, you buy whatever you want to $50, but Over 50, you must get my approval. Amen. Meddling a little bit right here, isn't it, amen? And you know what she did during the holiday, Christmas holiday? You know what she does? She calls. I'll give you no one about cost, you young people. You know, when you're in a family, you know what happens? You buy gifts just for your family members. You know what happens? You're all excited to get married, some of you. You know what happens? At Christmas time, now you go buy for two families. Your mom, your dad, brothers and sisters, and then her mom and dad, and brother and sister. Son, it hurts then, man. So those of you that are so hurried to get married, you better weigh the cost right now a little bit. It's expensive. Especially if you don't like your in-laws, son. You're like, it's going to be hard buying them. I can hear the first fight already. Amen. I want to buy this for my mom. Why? She don't need that. She got a bunch of those. Amen. I can already hear it. But the rule is our house. She has to call me. So you know what? During the holiday, she calls. She said, honey, I found this. This is how much it costs. I said, what is it? She'll describe it. She'll take a picture with her phone, send it to me. Look at it. I look at it. I said, no, we ain't buying that. She said, why not? Man, that is not worth $60. No, you ain't buying it. That is not worth $60. No, we ain't getting that. No. Amen. Especially if that's for your mom or your dad. Amen. We're going to a dollar store. Amen. We're going to the dollar store a little bit. Amen. Just hold on. You know what I weigh? Cost. Value. It looks, us men, we look at something and say, I ain't paying that for that. You men ever walked out of a store and say, I ain't paying that. Amen. Why? Because you put a value on that thing. You said, that is not worth the cost. If it's $60, no way. $10, maybe. Not $60. No. Especially if it's made in China. Amen. I don't buy no $60 item. Amen. You young people, one of these days, the cost come up to you in serving God. You're going to struggle with paying the cost. Man, is it worth it serving God? Is it worth it staying clean? Is it worth it staying pure? Is it worth it going to church? I'm here to tell you tonight, the value is worth it tonight. And it's worth it serving God tonight. It's worth it living for Him tonight. It's worth it serving God in church. It's worth it, man, having a great God tonight. Man, it's worth it having a beautiful wife with kids that love you, that serve God together. It's worth it, man, staying clean till that day. Man, it's worth it, man, staying in church, man, enjoying preaching, enjoying singing, enjoying camp meeting, living for God and all that. It's worth it tonight. You know why some of you walk away? You don't think it's worth it. You say, man, you mean I got to do that in order to keep following the Lord? I just don't think I can. That's just, to me, it's worth it. Man, it's worth it. All these years, I know it was hard, man, dressing a certain way. It was hard, man, having to do things a certain way. It was worth it not going to certain places. It was worth all them years my dad didn't let us go here, didn't do this, didn't go that. But let me tell you something, young people, it's been worth every mile. Man, it's this life of called Christianity. It's been the best life there is tonight. Man, I've enjoyed serving God. I've enjoyed traveling the country for Him. I've enjoyed seeing God do something around here. It's been the best life. There can come a time you're going to have to weigh cost, value. I want to tell you something. Put a value on it tonight. Put a value on waiting until you get married. Put a value on having a good church. Put a value on good old-fashioned preaching. Put a value on those things, man, because they're going to, man, one day they're going to be gone. Put a value on it. What we have here tonight is not cheap. It costs somebody something to have this here tonight. And folks, young people, one of these days, you're going to have to pay that cost. Question is, will you be willing to pay it? You're going to struggle with it. You say, oh, I just don't know if we can keep doing this. I don't know if we can keep supporting the missionary. I don't know if we can keep going to church like this. I don't know if we can do this. It's getting hard and tough. Yeah, it'll be hard. It'll be tough. It won't be easy all your life. But I'll tell you what, man, just remember this. That value of that item is sure worth it. You're going to look back and say, man, boy, am I glad I waited. Boy, am I glad, man, even though it cost me something, I stuck with it. It's worth it. Man, I tell you what, just living the Christian life is the best life tonight. I know some of you might not like it, but I tell you what, I like them two songs. They sing a song, you know, about how God has been good. They sing a song, you know, just about, you know, about how I have been blessed. Tell them I hear them, my heart stirs. Tears fill up my eyes. You say, why? Because I lived a good life, man. It wasn't a good life because of money. It wasn't a good life because of anything. It was a good life because God was in my life. And I'll tell you what, man, it's been worth serving God tonight. It's been worth living for Him tonight. Say, preacher, you had to overcome peer pressure. You had to deal with all the conforming to the world. You had to deal with this and that. Yeah, you had to deal with praying for the right wife. And you had to deal with all. Was it worth it? Yes, it was. And I'm glad that I got a great wife tonight. Loves me and I love her tonight. Amen. You know what young people struggle with? You struggle with the cost involved. The question is it going to be worth it? Yeah, it'll be. You look back and say, man, I'm glad I stayed in church. You know, as young people are going to struggle with, not only the cost involved, number two, they're going to struggle with the commitment that is required. You know what some of you are going to struggle with? Just the commitment. You know what, in order to grow up and serve God through Christianity and stay faithful, you know what's going to be required? Commitment. You're going to struggle with commitment. Amen. This world does not promote commitment. It promotes just breaking commitments. Breaking promises. Breaking vows. Breaking contracts. It says when you break a contract, just go ahead and sign up, man. When you can't pay no more, just file bankruptcy. Just get debt relief. Just go over here, man, to file a divorce. Just get out of this free. Just go ahead and return the vehicle. Just go ahead and let the house go. Just go ahead and get out of your marriage. Just go ahead and leave the house. Just go ahead and get out of church. Find the church you like. I mean, all that. It's all promoting lack of commitment. Well, if you don't like your job, just get out of it. Just go to school for a little bit. If you don't like it, get out of it. Whatever. It does not promote commitment. It does not promote you staying with things. You're going to struggle all your life staying committed. You know what you need to stay committed to? You need to stay committed to your church as a member of your church. Stay committed to your church, man. Be faithful to your church. Man, I found my best friends in church. Man, the best times I've ever had is in church. Man, we drove like 20-something hours, my brother-in-law and I. You know what we talked about all the way? You know, we talked about events and activities and we talked about people and the things in the church that happened. That's all we had to talk about. And you know what? It filled all the time. We laughed. We said, you remember that so-and-so? He did this. Remember that time? That's all we talk about. We just get a kick out of it. You know what we lived our life? Around church. Our life revolves around it. You know, just stay committed to it. You might miss out on something good. You know, you're going to struggle with commitment that's required. It is required to be committed to a church. You want God to use you, young men, here tonight? Stay committed to a church. I don't like people who, man, just flop around here and there whenever they don't feel like it. Your feelings just get the best of you every now and then. Well, I don't feel like doing. There's a lot of things I don't feel like doing, but I make myself do it anyway. And you've got to learn how to do the same. There are a lot of things you don't like doing. Make yourself do it. See, people operate too much on feelings. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Make a commitment and stick with it. When it comes to paying bills, learn to commit to that and stick with it and pay bills. You got a little job, man, commit to it. Stay faithful there. Let people know you can be counted on to be trustworthy. Man, I mean, because if you start that young and stay committed to things, you know what happens? When you grow up, you'll just be, it'll be a part of your character and nature. But if you're just always flip-flopping around and changing all the time, amen, you know what? It's going to follow you the rest of your life. Amen. You know what the Bible says? Meddle not with them that are given to change. Ah, 1 week you're this. You're going to be Baptist. Next week you'll be Pentecostal. The week after you'll be Nazarene. The week after you'll be Holiness. Next week you'll be Hartshell. Next week you'll be Primitive Baptist. Next week all Southern Baptist. What happened there? Amen. Don't die on me now. Amen. Well, you can't be committed to something. Learn how to get loyal to something. I always tell people, get brand loyal. What do you mean brand loyal? Find a brand you like and stay loyal to it. Me personally, I'm brand loyal to Coke products. Amen. I like Coke products. I like Coke. You say you like Pepsi? No. Just don't like Pepsi. You like dark pepper? No. How about the cola from Sam's Club? No. How about that? No. I don't like Mr. Pet. I don't like RC. I like Coke. You know, many years ago, they used to have a slogan, Coke, that says, Coke is the real thing. Amen. It's the real thing. You know what I like in Coke, too? I like in Coke, too. The King James Bible. Amen. If you drink anything else, it's about as bad as using NIV in church, NASV, RSV. Meddling again, isn't I? Amen. I'm just brand loyal. You know how I'm brand loyal to? Made in America. Amen. I start reading all the labels in the house. And don't buy that no more. Why? It's not made in America. Why? Because it's cheaper. I said, I know, but we'll buy one that costs more. It's like made in America. Amen. I used a toothbrush the other day from Equate, that Walmart brand toothbrush. Man, the first time I used it, my mouth got sore. I looked at it, I said, what's wrong with this toothbrush? And I looked on the back, it said, made in China. So there's the problem. I threw it down. Them Equate men toothbrush were like 98 cents. So I went back over there, and you know what? The other ones, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I said, man, look how much these other ones cost. But I looked at the back, made in America. Well, I'm going to pay more, you know. Get loyal to something. See, if you just like, let's go for whatever. You know what's going to happen? Follow the whole of your life. That's what we tell you, young people. I don't know what your pastor's telling you, but you know what? I believe your preacher, Brother Charlie here, we believe the same. I think, you know, you better not fool with dating. Start hunting around and say, who do I like? You better be ready to commit to someone for the rest of your life. Amen. Well, let me just try him out for a while. No. You say, I want to know what he's like. You know what? Let me let you on a secret. You do not know anybody until you live with them. I'm not promoting shacking up now. I got to say it because I said that at a place and everybody said, well, you might as well shack up. Said, no. You do not know anybody until you live with them. So you say, I want to get to know them. You're not going to get to know who they really are. But I'll tell you how that you get pretty close to find out who they are. That's how. You girls, you want to know how pretty close that man is? You go look at his dad. Watch his dad. If his dad is a good man, he'll probably be. Now, I know there's some that are out there exceptions. But he'll probably follow what his daddy does. Why? He grew up in that house. You boys, go look at that mom. Amen? She will probably be just like. The daughter will probably just be like the mom. You say, how do you know? I've been around this all my life. You watch them and pretty much they pan out the same. They do the same thing. It's really weird when the mom and the daughter are dressing the same. It's really weird then. You think, man, they're wearing the same clothes. Oh, man, there's something not right there. And you want, you boys, you ever look at, if you want to know about girls, get your mom's advice. Your mom will help you out a whole lot right there. She'll help you out a lot. Your mom will say, you need to stay away from her, son. I'm like, Mom, she's the fun one. Exactly, stay away from her. That's what my mom told me. Moms just have a thing for that. I don't know. Amen. You know what happened? You're going to learn there's going to be a commitment involved. Are you going to stay faithful? You know what? Times will get harder. It's not going to be easy. When you get out on your own, it will get harder. Let me just help you out. Well, is it going to be hard, preacher? Yes. When we get married, is it going to be hard? Yes. Preacher, is it going to be hard raising kids? Yes. Preacher, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's always it's going to be hard. That's reality.
Right.
You need to quit watching my Hollywood endings. Hollywood endings, everything turns out good. You were raised, most of you were raised on Hollywood. You were raised that in 30 minutes, it'll get worked out. You were raised on, man, an hour and a half, somehow the hero's going to get the girl back and win, and everything's going to get fixed. You were raised on somehow good always overcomes the evil. You were raised on that Hollywood ending. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes things will not work out. What are you going to do? Stay committed. Stay faithful. Make up your mind. I have come here to stay. I'm going to be a member of the church till Jesus comes. I'm going to stay right with God. I'm going to stay faithful to my wife to be. I'm going to stay faithful to my husband to be. I'm going to stay faithful. Lord God, Lord, You will be first and foremost in my life always, Lord. And I'm going to stay right with You as much as I can, dear God. I might not hit it every time, but God, I pray I will stay there with You, Lord. Make up your mind. You're going to be committed to Christianity. Make up your mind. You're going to stay faithful. Some of you young preachers, you know what you need to get committed to? Get committed to the old-fashioned Christianity. And it's and that's not just being having old fashioned. That's a way of that's a whole different animal here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what? Some of these, oh, you know what? I'm just going to change and adopt new ways. There's some of these things work for so long. You know why? Because they're just the way it is. You're not going to improve on it. Amen.
Amen.
Soul winning still works.
Amen.
Going to visit people, go come up God, pass not trust. Those things still work. Man, just preaching, man, like you're supposed to preach, man, that still works. Traveling the country, you know what I'm finding? People, man, they fall in love with preaching. I used to hear Brother Charles say it all the time until I seen them on eyes. Grown men in their 60s, old men, come up, shake your hand and say something like this. He said, man, I ain't heard nothing like that in years. Thank you. I was wondering if that kind of Christianity is gone. They come to you and shake your hand. They say that, man, it does something to your heart. You say, man, is that for real? Man, I was my hope. I haven't heard anything like that in a long time. Man, it stirs you up. And you think, man, what's happening?
Yes, you're right.
Folks, I want to encourage you. Stay committed. Get yourself committed, man, to the church there. Get yourself committed to the things of God. Get yourself committed to old-fashioned Christianity. Get yourself committed. Say, I'm just going to be a Christian until Jesus comes. I'm going to be faithful. You know what you're going to struggle with? Number three, you're going to struggle with the fact you can't wait. You can't wait for things. See, what do you mean? You can't. Some of you can't wait for marriage. You can. You can. Amen. Like I said, you don't want to be buying in-laws Christmas gifts. Especially if you get some of the in-laws and some of the people that end up with you. I mean, you're like, ah, man. You struggling now to buy her a gift? Imagine when you're buying her whole family a gift for Christmas. Oh, I'm not going to do that in my house. Yeah, if you want that marriage to work, you're going to be buying a gift. Ah, blood go in my house. Yeah, it'll be out for a while. Amen. You know what? Some of you can't wait for marriage. Some of you can't wait for money. You know what the best lesson I ever learned about money? Either you handle money or money handles you. That's the best lesson I ever learned about it. This is probably one of the best lessons I ever could give to you to say, you know what I learned? Either you learn to handle it or it will handle you. The Bible says there, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let God add some things. Instead of going to seek it out on credit. Amen. Some can't wait for money. Some can't wait for marriage. Some can't wait to mature. What do you mean by mature? They can't wait to grow up. You know what the first goal of a child is growing up? The first goal is 13. All they look forward to is 13. I cannot wait to be 13. Teenager. Teen youth group, teen outing, teen this. Just so excited. That's the first goal you've got to wait for. I want to be 13. I won't be 12. I won't be 11. I'll be 13. Then what? Then you know what's the next one after that? Not only 13, 16. Driver's license then. Oh man, I can't wait to get my learner's permit, my driver's license. Some of you, you jump the gun, go at 15, take the classes. Your mom and dad spends hundreds of dollars so you can go get a learner's permit. Mom and dad, save some money. Save some money, mom and dad. Make them wait another year. It ain't going to hurt them to go and that's 16. I want to help them get an early license when they're 15. Why? We don't need them on the road. I drive the road for a living. Don't send them out there, please. Mom, dad, keep them home as long as you can. Drive them to school. Drive them where they got to go, man. Please don't let them get in my way. Hey, man, I mean, they're 16? You know what's after 16? 18. Can't wait to be 18. I'll tell you a sad story about 18. Preacher friend of mine, Brother Charlie knows him. It's five kids. All five kids, man, they left the home, got out. Some of them worldly, a couple of them trying to serve God in church. One day, I was visiting him at his house, and he just said, Brother Terrence, he said, man, you grew up my kids. Why'd they leave me? Why'd they all go off? Why are they not serving God like you are? Why are they not doing what you do? I said, I don't know, but, you know, I know something that you used to tell them that they used to look forward to that I don't know if you knew what you were saying to them. He said, what is that? I said, you used to tell your kids, wait till you're 18 and you can do whatever you want. I said, my dad never told me that. But I said, behind closed doors, when I was with your kids, I said, they would always say that to me. When I'm 18, this is what I'm going to do. I said, you know, brother, I mean, I'm not calling you bad parent or to your face or anything, but, you know, you set them a goal of 18, that's all they look forward to. And some of you, I hope you're not doing that as a parent. You're a Christian, you're going to church, don't set them no goal to look forward to of 18. When you're 18, you do whatever you want. No, don't send them no goal. They will shoot for it. They will come to church with you. They will sit there with you. They will do whatever you want. But in their mind, there's 18. Dad said, I can do it. And they will throw it back at you. Oh, not my son, not my daughter. Hey, they will. I got Buddy Evangelist right now. His daughter, as soon as she finished school and everything, you know, she said, hey, tired of life, tired of road. See you later, Dad. If I said his name, some be shocked to find out who that was. You say, why? You set them wrong goals. Somebody can't wait to mature. You're looking forward to 18. Then after 18, you know what you're looking forward to? 21. There's probably only a couple of reasons you'd be looking forward to 21. And they're not good. They're not good. Amen. That goal of 21 is not a good thing. Amen. I'll be 21. What are you looking forward to that for? Amen. Had nothing to do with the Lord. You know what you're going to struggle with? Can't wait. I'm going to encourage you something. Learn to wait. You don't need everything right away. Man, I mean, just enjoy your youth. Enjoy being a young person in church. The time of your life, man, you will have. And in youth group, you will remember these youth trips right here. You will remember those the rest of your life, because I do. I look at it, man, we've got all sorts of stories, man. I'm with my people back home, and man, all the things we did, had a good time in the Lord. There was no alcohol involved. There was no sin involved. We just had a good time on the youth group, man. So, oh, I can't wait. No, you can. You can wait to pay bills. You can wait on the creditor knocking on your door saying you're past due. You can wait on buying gifts for the in-laws. You say, you're hurting about that, aren't you? Well, not really, kind of, but. I got one of my in-laws right here. Amen. He's with me today. He's traveling with me, my brother-in-law. I'll tell you what, you know what? You learn to wait on things. Let God send you the right wife, right husband. The Bible says houses and Bible says riches are inheritance of fathers. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. There are only certain things your mom and dad can provide for you. Other things God must provide. A prudent wife falls in that category. Prudent husband falls in that category. Mom and dad can get you ready for life, but there's other things only God can get you ready for. Learn to wait. Amen. Learn to wait, man, for things about money. Learn some of them can't wait to move out of their house. Are you so excited to have a landlord? Are you really? Can't wait to have a landlord. I've never heard anybody say that. But that's what you're going to get when you move out. Amen. Ah, man, I'm so excited. I'm moving out. What? You're going to get a landlord? You're going to have your own home repairs? Amen. You're going to be calling Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie, can you come fix this over here? You'll be calling your pastor. Amen. There's something you wait on. Man, I'm hitting real close, isn't I, right now? It's just real quiet now. A lot of stuff you don't need to be involved in right away. Some of that stuff, your mind needs to catch up with your body. Some of your body has outgrown your mind. Your body's outgrown, man, your body has outgrown your age and your mind. Some of you are not even 12 and you're in your mind yet. But your body's 18, 19 years old, but your mind's 12. You know what else you're going to struggle with? Not only can't wait, but you know what you're going to struggle with? You're going to struggle with being too curious about things. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, the Lord told Adam, He said, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat. I don't know about you, but I don't know how big the Garden of Eden was. From what I study in the Bible, it was a large area. And there was many trees in that garden. He said, of every tree you may eat. He said, man, there's just so many places out there. But you know what he said, there's only one tree, do not eat. You know what you're going to struggle with all your life growing up in Christianity? You're going to struggle with being too curious. About what? You can be curious about the forbidden. I don't know how many trees were in the Garden of Eden. Maybe there was 1,000. Maybe there was 5,000. The fact there was more trees to enjoy than there was to be denied. Only one tree was denied. But there was, man, literally, I don't know, 1,000 other trees. My question is, Eve, why in the world were you hanging around the one that you couldn't have? There was others that you could. You know, some of you young people, you know what you struggle with? Being curious about what you can't have. Preacher says, stay away from this. Stay away from that. The preacher's against a lot of things. Then you're like, how come? Hey, there's a bunch of other things you can do. There's other things you can have in the Christian life. Christian life is not a life of just don't do this, don't do that. There's a bunch you can do. There's a bunch of places you can go. There's a bunch of things that you can enjoy from God tonight. Problem is, you're not hanging around those things. You're just looking around the one thing you can have. Amen. All these right here. Man, if I put about $50 right here and I said, all right, you know what? Just leave that $50 alone. Don't bother it. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. You know what a lot of you do? You're going to come by over here and look at it. You're going to wonder about it. You're going to say, man, wonder why he put that there. He put it there. He told us, don't play with it. Why is he doing that? You can come over here and sit there. Next thing you know, a bunch of you be fellowshipping around here. Then everybody else is going to come around, wonder why you're fellowshipping here. Next thing, the whole church will be wondering that $50 and all the hamburger hot dogs going cold in the back. The whole church will be wondering about the $50. Why did Brother Terrence put it there? Why did he say we can't touch it? Why did he say that? And you all go over there. Don't go do this. Leave that alone. Stay away from her. Stay away from him. And all you want is what they said, don't have. Leave alcohol alone. First thing you say, wonder why. Man, don't get involved with tobacco. Man, I wonder why.
Good preaching, brother.
Stay away from her. Wonder what's wrong with her. Leave that stuff on the internet alone. I wonder why. I'm just going to Google search it. I'm going to check it out, see what comes up.
Amen.
You parents, there's probably some of you parents here that know how to, adults, let's say adults, that know how to use that Facebook and that stuff legitimately. There is a legitimate use. That's why it was invented. There's probably legitimate on the it, but there's probably legitimate use for it. And somebody out there is probably using it legitimately. But you know what? There's a bunch of you who don't know how to use it. Some of you are so goofy. You put yourself on there. You let everybody see the real you on that thing. That's how goofy you are. You know, you want everybody to see how depraved you are. You want everybody to know how much of a hypocrite you are. Because at church, I'm holy, spiritual, wear a halo. I've got wings. I float around church. I sing in the choir. But then on that thing, you let everybody know how much of a hypocrite you are. You see how not smart you are? I'm pretty smart. No, you ain't. You're just letting everybody look what you're doing on that thing. While over here, you're doing this. You're just broadcasting the world. I'm a hypocrite. Well, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, you don't think. You're too curious about that stuff. And by the way, let me just, while I'm on it, might as well stop a little bit more. You know what the Bible says? In the last days, perilous times shall come. The Bible says, men shall be lovers of their own self. Now, wouldn't it be odd if you came to my house, and in my house, you came to the coffee table, and on that coffee table, I had a giant picture of me. And I had a bunch of CDs right here that said, I like these CDs. I had baby pictures of myself right there. Then over here on this side, you know, I had little candles burning to it. And then when you came to visit me, I sat down on my coffee table and I looked at it like this, you know. And, what, look at, come sit by me, right? Look at this. And wouldn't you feel odd? I said, man, what's wrong? That preacher is in love with himself. Let me say something. Isn't that what you are doing? Oh, that's odd. He's worshiping himself. But isn't that what you're doing? Amen. Aren't you so full of yourself that you want everybody to know what you are doing? Amen. Look at my picture. Look at what I listen to. Look at what I'm going, where I'm going. There's a new button on there, they tell me. It tells you what mood you're in. Who cares about your mood? I don't. Amen. I love Brother Charlie. Amen. Like mentor to me. I appreciate him. Amen. I know he's not going to claim me after tonight, but that's all right. You know, but you know what? And we talk, we fellowship, we have a good time. But wouldn't it be odd if I called Brother Charlie? Brother Charlie, what kind of mood you in? Wouldn't it be weird? His little gaydar is going to go off. Come on, Brother Terrence. Amen. It would go. It'd go off. Bell there. Come on, Brother Terrence. He liked my mood. Yeah, they got that stupid trash on there. And some of you are involved in it. We said, leave it alone. Why? I'm using it legitimately. Yeah, to be a talebearer. You know what, someone tonight? Somebody back home, I preach at home. Somebody back home is going to call me tomorrow, tonight, late tonight, and say, I know what you preached. Why? Somebody's going to jump on there. You know what somebody's going to say? You're going to say, oh, you know what? He was talking about his in-laws tonight. And that thing going to beat me home. You know why? Because you got all that little stuff in there. We tell you, leave that stuff alone. You don't need to be involved with it. Why not? Just don't, man. For one thing, it's being in love with self. Amen. See, you never looked at it that way, did you? That's the profile of a stalker. Serial killer got these little shrines all to them. Yet that's what you're doing. We're not in love with you, in case you haven't figured this thing out. And you love with yourself. I got to post something on there. I got to let everybody know what I'm doing. Why? You think you're that important? You think the world needs to know everything you're doing 24/7? I'm sitting in church right now. I'm listening to the message. No, so what? No one needs to know all that. Amen. You know, you're going to struggle with being too curious about the forbidden. Let me help you out here. There's other things to enjoy that you don't need to sin or get near the borderline to enjoy. We're having a good time here, not in church. A good spirit here tonight. You know what? And you know what? There's no one here Facebooking, no one here tweeting. No one here fooling around with all that stuff. There are no iPods going here. I hope there shouldn't be. Amen? Why? You know what? There's no video game. And guess what? You're having a good time. There's not even a remote in your hand. You're not even, you know, like, oh man, you don't even know what to do. You just said, amen. It's what church could be like. There's a lot of things I'd enjoy. There's that youth group, those times of your youth group. Amen. Serving the Lord, man. I mean, some of the best story we got when we used to go out to soul winning, this is the youth group. I encourage you young people, do that. If you don't take your youth group soul winning, I mean, you need to start them on that. Oh, they won't like it. You don't know. I mean, they used to take me and say, don't go with him. They used to say this to me, don't go with him. I said, why? He stands at the door till somebody answers. I was like, is that what we're supposed to do? I didn't realize others were praying. I hope no one's home. I know no one's home. And there I was, man. I mean, man, the light's on. Man, there's somebody in there. Come on. Where are they? Come out here. I mean, I was dumb. Man, didn't know any better. Man, some of the best times we found people doing things and, man, visiting houses. Just things crazy. Man, but you know, we win a bunch of people to God. One of the best times we had, we went out one time in trailer court and man said, you know, we need to visit this. So I said, all right, let's go. We went and visited the door and knocked on it, man. And he said, this is Navajo family. We talked to them. And he said, why don't you talk to them? You're Navajo. I said, okay. Man, that whole family came out of the thing and there was some sand on the ground. I took a little stick and I started drawing. I drew a cross and I drew a line. Then over here, I drew a chair. And at the beginning, I drew, an arrow coming down. They said, what is that? And I said, this is God creating. And I went through the Bible and all the way to the end, I went through the judgment. At the end, they said, what is that in the middle? I said, right, that's a cross. They said, what's that for? Man, then I'm getting preached to them, Jesus right there. Yes, salvation, pardon. Man. Now, there was this oddest looking fellow I ever seen. Well, I didn't know it was a fellow. Kind of girly looking, weird. Long nails, colored fingernails. Hair down to here, real plucked eyebrows, the whole nine yards. I didn't know he was watching back there. You know, by that time, I said, you know, I got preaching Jesus and told him, you know what, this is how you get saved. By that time, he was sitting there, he came up to me, he said, did he die for people like me? Tell you what, that's rough. I said, yeah, he did. The Bible says it. Whosoever man, whosoever would take. He said, what do I got to do to take it? I said, you be willing to give that lifestyle, to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior right now? He said, yeah. Came to church a couple nights and that meeting I was there. You know, I mean, the guy, he came to church, looked different, had a haircut, finger would change. I mean, just, hey man, you say, where did you see that? Going out there, doing something for God. Wasn't doing nothing weird. Hey man. We used to set up a booth at the fair, Navajo Nation Fair, where they have like some people call a harvest meeting, all that. We had all the weirdest people out there. One best I ever had at pictures up there, drawings of people. There's a judgment. There's a drawing there of where will you spend eternity? In heaven with God or in hell with Satan? One man said, "Oh, you shouldn't use fear to scare people like that." I said, "Let me show you what the Bible says. The Bible says, fear not him that's able to kill the body, but rather fear him that's able to kill body and soul." And I tell you, we had time out there. I remember just standing there wearing a t-shirt. And, gee, we'd give out preaching CDs and preaching there. And I was standing out there, standing away from the booth. Everybody's over there. And I stood here. And the man was standing over here. And I kind of walked up and I said, hey, what are you looking at? He said, I'm looking at stuff over there. He said, you know what? I was listening to a preacher. And he preached on this. And he went down the outline. He goes, I'm kind of wondering if I could go over there and get another one. He goes, oh, that guy, he was preaching some stuff. And it was funny. And he started talking. I said, was he talking about this one time? He goes, yeah. He goes, how do you know? I said, I'm the one that was preaching there. He looked at me and said, "You?" He said, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, can I have now?" I'll tell you what, the best I ever had was in church doing the Lord's work. And yet you're so worried about the forbidden. I can't do this. I can't go there. And I can't have that. Why are you worried about the forbidden? There's a lot of good things we can do for God here. Many times we have youth outing. We take our youth out. They'd sing. They'd shout. We had a good time at a bowling alley. Amen. The people would close it down just so we can go in there. I mean, just things for the Lord, man. You're so worried about what you can't do. Why are you worried about what you can't do? There's a bunch of other things you can for God. Let me say the last thing here tonight. You know what else you're going to struggle with? You know I'm going to struggle with the cost involved, the commitment required, struggling with can't wait, you're going to be struggling with too curious about the forbidden. But last of all, you're going to struggle with getting close to God. We don't have time to go there, but the text I wanted to read you is in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 1 Samuel chapter 3. You're going to struggle with getting close to God. You know why? Because you're raised around it all your life. There's three individuals in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. Three individuals. Two of them were brothers and one was an adopted son. Two brothers named Hophni and Phinehas were sons of the priest. If there was any church brats, they were church brats. They grew up in it and around it, saw it all around. And you know what happened? The Bible says about them, they were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They knew how to do it, but you know what? They knew what to do, how to do it, but they grew up just pure heathen. And they didn't know God. There was another individual, adopted son, his name was Samuel. The Bible says he served God. He did everything with the right attitude. He lived clean, pure, holy, but you know what the Bible still says about him? He didn't know the Lord either. We always think Hophni and Phinehas are wicked, but you know what? Both of them didn't know God. Both grew up in it. Both grew up around it. Both know what to do. Just like a lot of you. You know when you go to church, you should dress nice. You know when to sing, when to shout. You know you should carry the Bible. You know you should at least put a couple of tracts in your pocket. You know you should tell people, "Well, I'll go to church," you know. And you know all what to do. You know when people are moving to altar, maybe I should go too. You know why? Because you grew up with all that. You grew up some of you grew up sitting under excellent preachers. You've heard best preaching somewhere. Some of you heard best preaching in the country, man. Those preachers will come and fill the pulpit. Man, you say, "Man, that's good stuff." And you know what to do. You've grown up in around it, but you know what your problem is? You don't know the Lord. You know about church. You know about being a Baptist. You know why we're King James only. You know that. Most of you know why we're King James only. You know why, man, we believe Jesus coming again. You know there's only one way to heaven. You know all that stuff about it. But you know what you don't know? You don't know God. Some of you are going to turn out like Hophni and Phinehas, pure heathen. And still don't know God, but you grew up and raised around it. Some of you tonight, you're going to stay clean all your life, pure, and stay right with God like Samuel, but you still going to be like him too. Didn't know the Lord. Then one of these days, you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk away from it all. Bad kids walk away. We know that from the church, from the Lord. But you know what else I know? I know good kids walk away from God. Well, some of your parents say, "My son, my daughter, yeah." I've got something sad for you, mom and daddies. There's no way to make your kids spiritual. You can't do it. You can get them, show them everything, but it's got to come a point in their life when they get to know God on their own. Amen. My dad kept me around preaching, did all he could, raised me, everything. But it still boiled down to a choice in my life. Am I going to serve the Lord or am I not? You can struggle all your life with getting to know the Lord. Let me tell you what, all the other struggles will be a whole lot easier to overcome if you can get this one down. If you will get to know the Lord, every other struggle, the struggle with the cost involved, the struggle with the commitment required, the struggle with can't wait, the struggle with being too curious about the forbidden, all those struggles will be a lot easier to deal with if you could get this one down, just getting to know the Lord. I said, I didn't ask you if you knew when to pray. Didn't ask you know when to respond to invitation. Didn't know. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord? You know how Samuel got to know the Lord? First thing, when God called, he responded. Samuel! Man, the man jumped up, ran, said, what? He ran to Eli first few times, but didn't figure it out until later. Samuel told him, hey, that's the Lord calling you. But he still responded to God. You know what? Some of you, God calls you, deals with you, and you know what? You don't respond to that. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever sat in church and listening to the preaching and not worried about anything else, but just one time you sat preaching and that preaching really got to your heart and you said, man, I needed that. You know what that was? God dealing with you. My question is, did you respond to it? Did you say, well, maybe I'll go to the altar, maybe I'll do something about this? Or did you just say, well, you know, we're going to go leave in a little bit and then everything will be alright. Man, the hamburger's all done, man, hot dog's all. Just kind of brush it off. You'll never get to know God if you keep brushing off God dealing with you. God trying to deal with you, some of you boys and you girls, about giving up things, getting rid of things. God trying to deal with you about trying to dress right, trying to live right, trying to pick your friends. God trying to deal with you about listening to your parents, obeying, quit being rebellious. God trying to deal with you about being appreciative of the Lord. Appreciate what you have. Be thankful for it. God trying to deal with you about giving your best effort, getting serious, and man, stepping out by faith. God trying to deal with you about missions and missionaries and praying for missionaries, giving to missions and your faith problems. All that God's trying to deal with you about, you just keep brushing it off. You know what? You're never going to get to know God. You're going to grow up your whole life knowing how to go to church, knowing everything about church, but you know what you're not know? You're not going to know God. God's going to show up in church service and you're going to sit there and like, why are they all getting a blessing? You can go home and man, everybody says, man, that's good church service, good preaching. You're like, really? You know why? You brush it off. You know how Samuel got to know God? He responded when God... Some of you need to respond. Tonight, let's preach against a lot of things. You know what? Be good for it. Lord, you're dealing with me about this. And Lord, I want to listen. Amen. He don't respond. You know what else he did? He made God's words precious to him. The Bible says there he did let none of his words fall to the ground. You know what you need to do? You need to make a relationship with that Bible on your lap. To some of you, that Bible is no different than your school textbook. Amen. You know, when we went to school, we had English books that thick. How many ever had an English book like literature, that book? Man, I mean, just huge. World history and literature, man, about that big. You know what we do? We didn't like carrying it around. We'd have to give it to somebody. Say, hey, you got a backpack? Take it to class for me. They'd take it, you don't get to class. All right, give it to me. You know what we needed there? The teacher would say, all right, taking roll. Terrence Calvin, yes, you got your textbook? Right here. Never looked at it all week, but man, I had it there because I needed a grade. As soon as class over, throw it back under the locker. Hey, take it back for me. Because we were cool dudes. We didn't carry books. We was cool. We didn't carry books, man. We don't need no books. Hey, amen. You know what? Let them carry it for us. If they're dumb enough to carry it for me, let them. You know what? That's the way some of you treat your Bible. Well, I got to take it to church. Why? Because we're supposed to have one at church. Do you realize tonight that the God of heaven, the God that created everything you see out there, is speaking to you right there, I think? Do you ever stop and realize your Bible's like that? You ever stop and turn around and went back home and said, I forgot my Bible. I need it. Have you ever gotten so familiar with it? Man, when you opened it, I know it was right here. It's right in this area of my Bible I was reading, and you're trying to flip for it. You don't remember the chapter, but you know it's right in the middle of the page, at that right about that high, and you marked it with a blue underline. He said, it's right there, and you find it. He made words precious to him. The God of heaven, His nature, His character, His spirit is interwoven in that pages of that book you have. That Bible is not like any textbook in the world. It is not, the hymn book is not even on the same shelf as a Bible. It ain't. I don't care how spiritual them books are in the bookstore back there. None of them are on the same level of that Bible right there. That Bible is the God of heaven. heaven speaking to you. Trying to tell you about history, where you came from, where you're at now, where you're going to end up. God is trying to show you that. Samuel made his word precious unto him. How about you? You going to make it precious? Amen. See, Samuel got to know the Lord. How about you? The first thing he responded to was God's call. I don't know about you, but more and more I'm getting around, I find a lot of you growing up in it. You figure that I grew up and I'm okay. You're lost. You grew up, you know all about church, but you know what you don't know? You don't know if you died right now, you go to heaven. That's what you don't know. You don't know that, you know, if Jesus came right now, you'd go with us. You don't know that. Some of you, you know what you're dependent on? Well, my mom told me that they dealt with me when I was 3 and 4. Now, I'm not knocking that. There's some people get saved when they're young. I was one of them. I was 5. Amen. Some of you got saved when you were young. But some of you, you know what you're living on? You're living on what your mom and dad told you. That's all you know. You yourself can't remember, man, repent of your sin, asking Jesus Christ, come to your heart and say, you can't remember that specifically. Just vaguely you remember, yeah, my mom told me, my dad told me. But you yourself cannot remember it. You just keep, every time the preacher preaches on salvation, going to heaven, preaching about, man, hell, you get nervous and you think, mom told me this, dad told me that. And you just kind of calm yourself down because dad and mom told you. Let me help you out. You're not saved. If that's all you're depending on, mom told me, dad told me, you're just depending on, well, I'm part of a youth group, I've done this all my life, you're probably not saved. There's a time in my life, the Sunday school teacher, I remember, she taught on hell. Man, it bothered me. I think, man, hell. People go there. Oh, man, it bothered me. Had that old flannel graph. Had a little fire at the bottom. The men going in there. Oh, it bothered me. She said, you be going. You don't trust Jesus Christ, you're saved. I'm thinking, oh, man. Went to the auditorium. Didn't get any better in the auditorium. You know why? The Sunday choir, the worship service, preacher got there and preached on the second coming. He preached, he said, lift up your head. Your redemption draw nigh. He preached on, man, how that one of these days the Lord is coming again. He said, some of you will go, some of you will stay. He says, some of you, man, you're going to be left behind. You know what he says? He says, some of you kids, you're going to be sitting here. Your dad and mama are going to be gone. Man, he's wearing me out by going to hell. Now he's wearing me out by being left behind. Which one? What'd you do? What'd you get saved for? I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want to be left behind. But I knew I needed to get saved. I know somebody showed me. I know I asked Jesus Christ to come hard and save me. I'm not going because, well, my dad didn't say, son, remember that message? And you went up there, son? Remember that time? I'm not trusting that. I'm not trusting it. My mom said, remember that time I came in your room and I prayed with you in your room, son? I'm not trusting that. I'm trusting because I know. I know. You know how Samuel got to know the Lord? He met Him personally. Have you? You can be a Buddhist tonight, never meet Buddha personally. You be a Mormon tonight, never meet Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, never meet him. You can be a Muslim tonight, never meet Muhammad, Allah, and all that. But you will never be born again until you meet Jesus Christ. You're going to struggle with all your life getting to know the Lord. The first step in getting to know the Lord, you better be saved. If you don't ever get saved, the whole thing is going to be messed up in your life. Let me ask you something tonight. Do you know? I didn't ask if your dad told you, your mom told you, the preacher told you. Do you know that you're saved, going to heaven? You adults, same for you tonight. Do you know? Or are you depending on what somebody told you? I wouldn't depend on what anybody told me. Some of you have heard me tell the story of my wife, and I'll close with this. You know, my wife, she grew up in around church. Her grandmother, Miss Elizabeth, is the one that helped get my dad started into church and get prayed for my dad to come and start the church there. And my wife's grandma's name is Miss Elizabeth. That's Brother Cedric over here. That's his grandma, too. That's their dad's mom. She's the one that helped My wife, Miss Rhoda, grew up around church all her life. We got to know each other, went to youth camp, we got to know each other. This was in 1996, June of 1996. I met her, and after that we got to know each other. 2 years later, October 3rd, 1998, we got married. Man, I figured she'd been in church all her life, man. She knows everything. So you know what? One day we're driving in September, year 2000, I think it was. It was 98 we're married, so it was in September 11, 1999. We had just argued that day over something. I don't remember what it was. We'd argued, and I drove her out to her mom's house, and we'd come back from mom's house, and we're still arguing. Finally, I got fed up with it, and I looked at her, and I said, "Man, you just argue about everything about that." I said, "Why? You act like you're not saved." Now, I didn't mean anything. I meant it because I was mad. I was angry. I said something. Just, ugh. You men know what I'm talking about. I got the last word. Amen. Amen. I was preaching at her. Amen. What I was doing. You bunch of heathen. Amen. I was so used to saying that. I fear I call her one. Amen. So, I said that. And we drove along the road. And, you know, after a while, I heard sniffling. And I said, "Uh-oh." I looked over there, and she was crying. I said, "Ah, I made my wife cry." And I slowly pulled over side of the road, and I said, "Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you that. I was wrong. Honey, I love you, you know, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to argue with you." And we're trying to make up with her. You know what she said? She said, "It's all right." She said, "It's okay. You're all right." I'm thinking, "All right then, you know, what's wrong? What's the matter?" She said, "I've been sitting here for the last 10 miles trying to figure out when I got saved." She said, "You're right." She said, "I don't remember ever getting saved." She said, "All I remember is that my mom told me, 'Honey, you went to the front many years ago.'" She said, "I asked my mom when I got saved." She said, "My mom said, 'You went to the front. Remember doing that?'" She said, "I don't, but she does." She said, "I don't know I'm saved." Took my Bible off the dash, took the scripture out, went through with her. To this day, you know what? She tells you, "That's when I got saved, September." It's almost a year after we got married. You know what she's figured out? I can't struggle with getting to know the Lord. I better get to know Him now. You young people, your biggest problem, some of you just need to get saved. You want to get to know God? Start. Respond to Him right now. If God said, "You know what? You're that one. You have a hard time trying to figure it out." And by the way, you know what? I'm not trying to retread none of you. I'm not trying to talk to you on nothing. I'm just letting you know how it lays here. And if it's bothering you, you're the one who needs it. Some of you, if you're saved, you know what? You don't make the Bible press. You don't respond when God deals with you. We can give an invitation here a little bit. Some of you will sit there, even though God bothered you here. Wasn't me. Wasn't no preacher. Preacher didn't tell me nothing about you. It was God bothering you. God put His finger on something in your heart and says, "This is what's wrong with you. You need to get this right." And you're going to sit there and you're going to pray and hope that we get this thing done over quick so you can go eat a hamburger back there. Why don't you forget about the hamburger right now? Why don't you think about yourself right now? Why don't you quit struggling by getting to know Him? And tonight, why don't you start? Let's stand to our feet tonight with heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're going to give an invitation. Before anybody comes, let me ask you something tonight. Are you that one I'm talking about tonight? Are you that one? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one look around, no one go nowhere. Are you that one I'm talking about tonight that's struggling? Say, "I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. My mom told me something, my dad. Maybe the preacher told you something. But you yourself don't know for sure. You can't figure it out. You can't remember. All you remember is what your parents tell you." Is there anyone here like that tonight that will be honest with me, honest with God, honest with yourself? Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved right now, preacher. Can you pray for me? I'll do my best to pray for you." Would there be anyone like that tonight? I'm a little worried. Anyone like that tonight?